What's up, everybody? Welcome to
Pika Talk.
I'm Alex the Penguin.
And I'm Andrea the Horse.
And this is an episode where we are not going to do the normal stuff. You thought I was going to say the slogan.
Made
I'm not.
You psych.
He made you look.
I was going to say made you look.
No, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. This episode is a different type of episode. Welcome to the Arizona limited edition.
The Fika Talk lost episode. So. It's like the echo.
away. today we're going to be on a more serious note, guys. Well, we're going to try to because it's us, so it's a little hard to be serious. But last episode was great because we got back together again and we recorded for the first time in 2 years. And, you know, there was like a lot of excitement and craziness, but a lot of you had questions.
A lot of questions.
So we figured we were like, okay, you know what? Like, let's answer the questions in a way where we can give them the answers, but like still have fun. So like, we're going to do two of these. This is part one. Yeah. After this one, we're going to drop like maybe a regular one. And then we'll do part two after that, just to not make it so depressing. Cause ain't nobody want to be depressing, you know? It's too much depressing stuff in the world today. So keep the depression to a minimum.
And if everyone is a little bit curious for what is going to come up next, we are actually going to cover the 2-year gap in this episode. And everyone was wondering last episode, like, what happened during the 2-year gap? So now we're going to fill you in with the deets.
All right.
So it sounds so serious though.
It does. I know. Let's start at the beginning. It was 1408 BC.
I was going to say it was 1995. Alex was a little baba in Venezuela.
Oh,
she only knew how to speak Spanish. What?
No, I only spoke penguin. What does a penguin sound like? Okay, I'm not going to do. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Okay, no, seriously. Okay. All right. Let's face our feelings. We're going to talk about this. Okay. All right. The move. So most of you guys knew that, you know, like we had updated you guys, like where I was going, why I was going, yada, yada, yada. Right. Okay. So let's fast forward to the move. I ended up moving.
Yeah.
So I moved to Arizona Christmas Eve. And we did like a kind of like we did like our Christmas Eve and our Christmas like the day before Christmas Eve.
Right.
We went to my mom's with my U-Haul and we opened gifts and we did all of that. Literally treated it like it was, you know, Christmas. It was my nephew's second birthday, so I was really sad.
Yeah.
Like really, really sad. And it was really hard for me.
Or was it first?
No, it was second. No, it was first.
It was his first birthday.
This was a while ago. Sorry, guys. It was his first birthday. So I was really sad that I missed it. But anyways, I woke up. We left really early. For those of you that don't know, I left my kids here in Florida. And I left with my dog in my car. And a bunch of stuff in my car. And then the man who we do not speak of. I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
We're just getting right in there.
Shots
fired. No. It's okay, guys. No, I don't hate him. I swear everything's okay.
We will address that in another episode.
Yes. No. But I don't hate him. I swear I don't. It's just, you know, taking me back. So I'm just like, meh. But no. So my ex now. He was in the other car, so like in our regular car. No, he was in the U-Haul with my cat and the stuff. So we drove. It took us 37 hours
to get to Arizona. Just to remind our listeners, the cat was Venom.
Oh, yes. And the dog is Milo.
And the dog is Milo for all our listeners.
Okay. And they were troopers. They went 37 hours.
Yeah.
The whole entire way. We had a couple situations along the way, like Venom kept trying to escape the little thing. We stopped.
Like, he's like, F this, I'm out.
Yeah, like, he's like, listen, like he
you can move by yourself.
He literally picked the lock, guys, and he got out of the little thing. And we were like stopping for gas. We had to literally find him in the U-Haul and pull him out of under like a very uncomfortable area because he literally was like trying to be incognito. Like he was like, heck no. So stuff like that happened. We had to stop a couple times along the way. So we stopped 4 times. We stopped because like the Air Force doesn't let you go a straight shot through. So we had to record like our stayings in like certain places and stuff. But Andrea and I spoke the whole entire time as much as we could.
Yeah.
Work after work. And we just sat there and we just cried the whole time.
Oh my gosh. It was so sad. And just to go, just to piggyback off of you for really quick, the move, like the day of Christmas Eve, I was dreading that Christmas Eve, like the time that we had to say goodbye to you so much. It really sucked. It really sucked because it was Christmas Eve and you're supposed to be so happy and things like that.
And we're always celebrating stuff together.
Yeah. And like, even though we got to celebrate, like I knew she was going to leave eventually that night. So it was hard. And then I remember her now ex kind of looked at her and said, like, you ready to go? And like, after we left, we left your parents' house, we went to your apartment, and that's when you left.
Yeah, that's when I left. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard. So we kind of kept like, you know, like on the phone, like that's literally, I feel like we repeated that a couple times. Like we were like, bro, it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. So it was really weird. I feel like, I'm a very family oriented person. So it was like one of the worst things in the world. Like, you know, kind of like pulling, it was like worst timing, you know, worst scenario in the world for me because I was like, oh my God, you know, like this is all I know. Like, you know, like I'm very in there with the family. I'm very, in there with everybody. And, you know, so pulling myself out of that and like a time where you're supposed to be joyful, like Andrea said, like it was really hard. So on the phone, we just kept like talking about that. And I'm like, I really just left. She's like, yeah. I'm like, it's really Christmas Eve. She's like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's taking me back.
Yeah, re-feeling the feelings. Yeah. I might have some like tears come out this episode. All right.
I don't like this.
Just suck it in. Suck it in. Okay. I was
literally like joking around 2 seconds ago. And then
yeah.
Now I'm like getting serious again. But
I just have to say this really quick. And the funny thing, Alex, you're going to laugh so hard. The funny thing is though, like I'm feeling this distance right now because she's in another room. We're not together. We're in a separate room right now. So it's
recording, like she's recording in her husband's room and I'm recording in like her office. So she's in his office. I'm in her office.
And it's bringing back those feelings of distance. It's
not the same without you. I'm like putting my hand to the camera. You guys can't see it, but
so we're recording on you know, just
StreamYard,
like StreamYard. So right now we're distant. So like the story that we're saying, it's really
I didn't feel it. It's like I'm not in your home, bro.
I'm really feeling it. I feel like you're in Arizona right now.
Oh my god.
All right, let's continue.
Sorry.
I just had to get that out there.
Yeah, no.
I'm about to start crying.
I got real serious. Like right now I'm like, because it's like bringing me back. It's also kind of like in this series, I should say, it's not really a series, but like in this, you know, it's kind of a sort of therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
We're revisiting all that stuff and we haven't even gotten to the good part.
It gets worse.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm back on track. I'm sorry.
And then also, like, I just have to say, like, your voice sounds so, like, clear and crisp. So all I hear is your voice. So I feel like it's, like, I'm listening to an audiobook. I'm listening to your memoir.
Do I have a good, like, audio voice? Like,
you do. Hello, ladies and
gentlemen. Today, we're going to talk about
trauma. Yeah. And trauma...
You gotta laugh at your pain. Yeah, you gotta laugh at your pain. Because if you don't laugh at your pain, you cry, and crying is great and all, but you know, you can't cry in your cereal in the morning. It's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to you, Susan. So, we're in the car, you know, we're like, well, we're not in the car. I'm in the car because I'm by myself in the car.
It's so sad. It's so sad. All right. Let me.
Dog is like drugged in the back.
Oh, yes. Okay, so
our like sickness and stuff, and he gets like anxiety, so we had to like give him pills, like happy pills.
We had to give Milo happy pills, and I just want you all to really quick just picture a husky mixed with a pit bull. That's what he is.
Yep, 90 yeah. pounds, big boy.
90 pounds. Okay,
massive jaw.
Okay,
big and head.
Okay. And literally this poor dog is, he like puts his head up and then he kind of like, because the drugs kick in, he like falls back down. And Alex took a video of it. Up, look so at me funny. And be like, whoosh,
back down he goes.
So funny.
It was really funny. Actually, it was really funny. That actually gave me some sort of like, haha. Because I'd be like, we'll be talking about like, Milo popped his head out and then, oh, never mind. He went back down.
Oh, yeah. We're like, oh my gosh, he's going to pop his, there like, you go. You know.
I think we have videos. Like, I think I like recorded some videos of him doing that. It was really funny. But okay. So, I was very like numb. Like, I feel like I was like really in my feelings and stuff like that. Like, you know, I was like, I felt like my heart got torn out of me. To say the least. And like, but I was like alive, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I was on my way and I was just like, you know, all these questions in my head. And some of you are probably thinking like, come on, Alex, like why it's so bad? Like, you're moving with your family. You know what I mean? But yeah. It's like, I don't know. I always had a gut feeling that it wasn't like a good idea to not say so much information online.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, like, let me be supportive, you know? So I was just, I did it for that. But yeah, I don't know. It was bad. But anyways, so yeah, so we did that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We got there. And when we got there, everything was just like desert. Desert. Everything was the same color palette. Like literally like different browns.
Brown.
And like brown. Yeah.
Brown was the main color.
Brown was the main color, all different shades, you know. And it's like, okay, it's pretty, you know. It's pretty for some time, but everything was dry. Everything was like that, like if you go up to a tree, it had spikes. If you went up to a bush, it had spikes. Flowers had spikes. And then like it was just completely different. Like, there was nothing that I could see and be like, oh, look, that reminds me of home, you know? So when I saw that at first, I was just like, wow, like, you know, like it was very shocking. It was really nice, but it was very shocking. I don't want to sit here and say that it was disgusting because it wasn't. It was really nice, but I was just like a little shocked.
Right.
There was mountains everywhere you looked. I'm not used to mountains. I'm used to buildings, but I was like, this is so cool. You know, I love like visiting different places and stuff like that. So I was, you know, like I wasn't judging too much. I was just like in shock more than anything.
Yeah.
When I saw my first cactus, I literally screamed. When I tell you screamed, I screamed. I found so much joy in cacti. Like the people from Arizona, which I'll tell you later on, like, they were like, are you serious? Like, why do you love cacti so much? They're so annoying. And for me, it was like, literally, it was my happiness. It was like my escape. Like, I was like, oh my God, this
was the best thing ever.
Yeah. For me, I would just talk about the cacti all day. I was like, oh, but I saw cacti and they're massive and I just want to hug it, but I can't because it's spiky. And let me tell you guys, they're like really tall. Like when I tell you really tall, like, you know, when you like see little like cacti print on stuff. Yeah. It's not that small in real life. In real life, they're huge.
They're really big.
Huge.
Yes.
I'm talking about like way bigger than like 6 feet. Like they're huge.
They're like spiky people.
Bigger than Raphael.
Oh yeah. Bigger than my husband.
Huge. So, okay. So that's that. So anyways, I was just on automatic. We finally got to the place. We finally got to the house that we rented. And it was really cool to finally have a house because Milo needed like a backyard because we used to live in an apartment. So that was really nice to like get there, see Milo be all happy with the backyard. So I was, you know, I was just finding little things to make me feel better. Like I was like, okay, like cacti, okay, mountains. Okay. Oh, Milo has a backyard, you know? So I was like pinpointing little things like that and taking it from there. My cat was freaked out. Venom was petrified. When I tell you petrified, I literally put him down and he didn't even want to walk on tile because he wasn't used to the tile. Like in the apartment,
was scared.
He was literally petrified. And I'm like, Venom, come on. Like, there's so many high things you can climb on. And he's just like, ugh. Like, he was not happy about it. When I got there, we noticed very quickly that the signal in Arizona is absolute trash.
Oh my gosh. You can't even call.
No. So that was our first issue that her and I had.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, I'm trying to call you. Like, you don't pick up. And I'm like, I didn't even get your call. And she's like, oh, so annoying. That's it. Our friendship's going to be over because we can't talk. And I'm like, no, best friend, hold on. Hold on. Hang in there. She's like, no, that's not it. I don't have Wi-Fi yet. I just got here.
You're like, have patience with me.
Yeah. So it was a lot of that. A lot of little like, oh, but you didn't call me. Oh, but you're going to be that. And then eventually, best friend. How did you feel about that?
How did I feel about the signal?
Like when I got there, like, and then I'm like, oh, I'm here. And then like, you would try to contact me and I couldn't like, what did you?
I tried to tell myself that she was like on vacation and that she was going to come back. It was so weird. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like I knew she was in Arizona, but it kind of felt like, you know, when you're going on like a business trip or just like a vacation, like a couple days, I kind of felt like she got to Arizona and she was going on a vacation. So, but then when the signal wasn't working and we couldn't keep in touch, like that really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Cause we talked like, I want to say one day, 4 hours on the phone on her way there. I would try to call her like every day. We were just trying to like keep each other company and stuff at that point. But I remember just being like, get that Wi-Fi working. Like, I'm over it. Because, like, we couldn't even, like, it was like a dead zone. I couldn't even, like, talk to her. And that was weird.
That was really
weird. Yeah.
And then from there came our issues.
That's when the fun began.
So, before we get to that part, are really good, basically they're family. They're my family. Mm-hmm. They came to visit for a couple of days. So we got there the next day. They arrived. They live in California. They came to spend time with us. Shout out to Leo and Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great time. We went around. We explored. We hiked. They lived like 4 hours away. Not even. It was like, it depends on traffic, but like, you know, let's just say 4 hours away. So they drove over there. So
right.
It was really nice. We spent New Year's together and then they left.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I got there, we settled the first day and then literally they got there, which we like went around, explored for like 2 days, 3 days. And then the third day they left. And then it was like back to reality. I remember that. During that time, it was really hard to talk to Andrea because, again, everywhere is like dead zone.
Yeah.
So by the time they left, she was pissed.
She's like, I was over it.
Mountain. How do I know you're not a lot like, you know, dead? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I was over it.
I was also like when they left, it like really hit me that I was like alone. Like literally, I don't know if I told them this. So like, when you guys listen to this episode, you guys like let me know like if I had told you guys this, but they left and I literally cried. I literally like, I was like, oh my God, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Like they're gone. Like they left and I know I'm going to see them again and I know that I'm going to be okay. But like, for some reason, like, I just feel like I hadn't processed stuff. So this was like me grieving, like, you know, what had happened and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it like punched me like, oh, I'm alone.
That's right. It. Because I feel like it's because they were familiar and they kind of
their families. Like, so then right. They were there and I was like, oh, okay, comfort.
Right. Comfort. They were your comfort blanket at that moment.
And I was so sad.
They left. Yeah.
Oh, I know. We're like feeling it again. I don't know. I'm feeling it right now. Yeah. So then, okay. So then that happened. So then when they left, my mom and my brother brought my kids to me.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they brought them to me. And the next morning or the same night, no, the next morning they left. Like they were only there for like a couple hours. Like they were there for like half a day, basically.
Okay. So just and a day then, to drop them
yeah,
off.
Yeah, we could say a day. Okay. And then they flew back home. So then that was also hard.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, the kids are here. So then it was like, okay, like, wow, look at your new room. Like, look at this, look at that. You know, it was right. Very like that. But then this is where it starts getting like intense. So
this is the saddest part.
Yeah, this is like one of the saddest parts ever. So I'm holding it together, you know, I'm chilling, I'm trying to take it one step at a time. I'm a very positive person, so I try to like, you know, wow, the kids are happy with their rooms and wow, like, you know, the dog and wow. And Venom, I notice Venom starts bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like walking and he's like just dripping like blood when he's walking. And this was literally the next day, like my mom and my brother left. And then literally like this started happening. I only had one car. And if you know me, you know, I cannot stay still. And like, I don't like not having like access to be able to like leave my house. And it was like the worst thing that could have ever happened to me because that was going on with Venom and I didn't have a way to take him to the doctor. So I was freaking out and like, it was horrible. I waited till he got home. And when he got home, like I went to the vet and like Venom stayed overnight. And the next day, we, like, got really bad news that, like, we had to put him down.
Oh.
And, yeah, so Venom got put down.
Oh, and my heart.
Really-
Oh, my God.
I feel like when that happened, oh, my God, I'm literally reliving it. No.
No.
No. I felt like when that happened, everything just, like, smacked me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They say that like cats hold a lot of like your energy and they hold a lot of like you know, like, you know, an emotional support animal, like a legit, like it's a legit thing, like they, like he, and if you know, again, if you've heard us before or you know me in person, you know that Venom was like my right hand man. Oh my God, I'm literally crying.
No. Venom, for some of our listeners who are new, he was Alex's cat and she saved him when he was only like 4 weeks old.
Yeah, he was 4 weeks old.
And that cat came straight out of a Apaqua.
Yeah. We say he's from the streets.
He's from the streets. Oh. And he looked like he wasn't going to make it. So she raised him and then till he was two or he was yeah, not even
he was
two.
He was about to be three.
Okay.
And he was a male cat. So like male cats tend to have like when they get stressed, like a lot of problems can occur and stuff like that with their kidneys and like, you know, all this stuff. And the stress from the move just really got to him and literally killed him.
Oh, that's so
yeah. Sad. Everything I literally felt. Huh?
The vet said it was like crystals. Did you
yeah
say
like
that?
He literally had like crystals that were like yeah. Like either we put him down or the crystals like literally like make him
burn. I think the and then also the saddest part is that I chipped in to help that cat.
Yeah, I mean her and her mom literally like they were like, no Alex, like we got you, like let's try to figure this out, like it was horrible. Yeah. Timing, like the timing was terrible.
And I remember we were celebrating my dad's birthday that day.
They're literally in dinner and on the phone with me and I'm freaking out, like literally like crying, like
so we did like, help her try to pay for that surgery and we're like, okay, like, you know, we're gonna try to save him and stuff like that.
We
but
literally
then
everything, guys,
Yeah, but then I was really mad at Venom because he didn't pee and then he got clogged again. And then there was nothing else to do.
They were able to make him unclog.
Yeah.
And as soon as they took off the thing that was helping him, he clogged instantly.
Like, yeah, the catheter.
Yeah. So it was something that, like, it wasn't really in our it wasn't in our control.
Listen, I'm not a cat owner at all whatsoever. I'm a dog owner. But when I tell when I tell you I grieved that cat, oh, I couldn't stop crying. I felt like Venom was my cat. And in a way, he kind of was, because I was like afraid of cats. And then like
he made her like him, like by force.
Yeah. And then I used to like watch him when he was a kitten, because like in our other episodes, we've talked about how we used to live in an apartment complex next to each other. Like literally we were next door neighbors, and how when we used to be in the apartment complex, we had to hide him because like the maintenance people and all that stuff would try to come and try to like, you know, do some maintenance on the apartment and stuff. And then literally we had to hide the cat. So we would switch back and forth and just hide this tiny little kitten. And the cat, I have videos that I look back on. He was like, he was not allowed to be there, but that cat literally was there for like 9 months.
Yeah, he was there for 9 months.
Which was even crazier. Cause like, how do you
finally were able to get him like a letter and like
emotional support.
But this cat will literally, like, Venom would stand at the windows, like the little window thing.
Yeah.
And I lived right in front of like the leasing office, and he would literally sit there
and like wave the
blinds and be like, "Hello, front office."
Literally.
<I'm here." laughs>
Literally. That cat.
He went through a lot with us. He saw me. He basically moved into that apartment with me. He saw me pregnant. He was there when Thiago was born.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was there for the move. He was there for everything. It was like Milo. I got Milo when Thiago was like 2 months. Or not.
He got Milo.
He was a newborn. And I got Milo. So, you know, my pets, like, they've been with me, you know. And it's just, you know, it's really sad because, again, like when that happened, like I literally felt like, like what people said, like the whole like, oh, you know, cats carry a lot of like energy and they help you like kind of like stabilize and stuff like that. At first I was like, ah, no, whatever. I didn't think about it that much. But when I tell you, I literally felt like when he passed away, I felt all that like weight just like kaboom on me.
Oh my gosh.
Like completely just like kersplat. Like,
yeah.
I'm a very positive person. I really try to like always see the bright side of life. I always try to, you know, like, I don't know, like not be like positively toxic, because it's like you need to feel your feelings. Like you can't just be positive all the time.
Right.
And, like,
yeah.
You need to feel what you're feeling. But I do try to always like look on the bright side. But like, it was the first time that I literally got super depressed. I didn't even know that I was depressed.
You didn't even know where the bright side was.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know where the bright side was. I didn't know. When I tell you guys, I was sleeping like crazy every day. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do anything. I was like super just like, it was so bad. And I'm a type of person, I love to work. I love to work out. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. I completely dropped the ball with everything. Everything was against what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I was alone. Like, basically, mm-hmm. I was alone. Like, you know, like, I'm very social. I didn't have my family. I didn't have my friends. Like, yes, okay, I had my family, of course. Some of you are probably like, come on, Alex, it can't be that bad. But, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I – what gives me energy is giving my love and giving my, like – I don't want to say service because that sounds strange. But, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, being everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I love, I love. And I love to love. And it's, like – I was not able to do that. And it really, like, it really, really, like, it was bad.
Yeah. And your energy comes from people.
Yeah.
So when you're around people, you're like the happiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it was, but I totally understand that, because like, I learned when you left that my energy comes from people too, but I, you know, you can literally be on like have the on button for like 24 hours. Like I can't, but yeah.
She needs her doses. She needs her doses, and then she recharges at home. And like for her, it's like a balance. For me, like I will get like, I can't, like I have to have that to be able to like, I don't know, function. It's weird. It's really weird. I got really bad after that. But in February, Andrea and Rafael actually went to go visit. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my anxiety was like at a million. I was not the same Alex. Like I was a completely different Alex. Like, tell them, bro. Tell them about that. Tell them about that.
So when I went to Arizona and I saw Alex, a couple things went through my mind. The first thing was when we landed in the airport of Arizona, everything had no color. Everything was brown. It was like, it's a desert, right? So you're thinking that you have to, for example, you're going to land there and you're going to see these bright houses like you see in Florida. You're going to see like bodies of water. First of all, let me tell you, I didn't see any bodies of water. When I went to Arizona, everything was just one palette, as she said earlier. And I thought that was so weird. So not only was I like, my brain couldn't connect that like Alex was in Arizona, if that makes sense. So for example, like when she came and picked us up from the airport, I was like looking at her, but when I was like looking at her, I couldn't stop looking at her because I thought it was so, I thought it was so weird because my brain wasn't registering that like Alex was in Arizona. I just landed in Arizona. Why did she just pick me up from the airport? Why, like, you know, all of this stuff, like it was so strange. So then after, and it took me like days to kind of like get accustomed to seeing her there.
We went to her normal, literally probably before she left.
Yeah.
To Raph.
Yeah. That's another thing. I was really attached to my husband at that time because like when she left, like, he was all I had, and I had to learn how to, like, you know, my best friend left. So now my husband was doing that role for me. I mean, of course, he's my husband. I love him, right? And everyone's going to say, oh, but my husband's my best friend. But no, like, when she left, that's when I had to, like, be best friends with Raph and just, like, have a friendship and stuff like that. Because there's a difference between having a relationship with someone and then being friends with them. And like for us, like we started doing everything together because Alex used to always have that place. Like we would go everywhere together, shopping, appointments, you name it, we did it. So like now it was like his turn to do that with me. And like I'm really, you know, some things happen for a reason. And like that made my and his relationship very close.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it helps a marriage, right? So when I went to Arizona, though, like I was really attached to him. I was just kind of like, and I even told him, I was like, I feel so weird. And he's like, what?
You're like shy, like, with me.
I was shy. It was weird. It was so, I have no, like, I don't even know how to explain it. I was uncomfortable. Like, I guess that's like, yeah. And then like, I would see Alex and then her anxiety was just like radiating. Like, I'll never forget when we were driving in the car and she was like, we were listening to music and everything was fine. And then, you know, when you're like, you change the gears of like park, reverse.
Yeah. Like, you know, the little stick thing, you know, that thing on the side of that little stick thing.
Yeah.
That you click.
Yeah. Alex was like clicking that like crazy. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And then she was just like, oh, nothing. And then just going, like, and I was just like, okay. And then that's when I was like, bro, your anxiety. And she goes, I know. I know. Like, her anxiety was intense. Yeah. But anyway, so that took about like I said, it took me about like 2 days to adjust. But then we did go and explore. We had a best friend day. It was just me and her. So I kind of like forced us to be like normal. And I don't know, Alex, what did you feel during that time? Like, did you feel weird?
You know, honestly, I felt bad because, again, I'm so used to giving.
Yeah.
And I'm so used to radiating, like when people see me from like what people tell me all the time, it's like, you know, oh, Alex is always radiating happiness. Alex is always like the fun one. Alex is always the one that like, you know, like, no, come on, guys, you know? And I felt like complete crap that I knew that I was literally radiating the complete opposite. I felt like complete crap that I was not Alex. And I knew I wasn't Alex. And when I saw Andrea, it kind of put like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shit, sorry. Mm-hmm. No, but I was, you know, but you know, it's like, damn, it's bad. Like, it's like, I knew it was bad, but like, I like, wow. Like, even like, I'm not able to even be like
happy.
Not even like with her.
Right.
Like I was happy that she was here and she gave me comfort. Like, mm-hmm. It was weird. It's like, I was very it was very comforting that she was there, but at the same time, it was challenging because it was mm-hmm. like, dang, like something is legitimately like wrong with me. Like,
yeah.
Like there's an intense like chemical imbalance right now in my body. You know what
you're
I mean?
Like, you're like, what happened to me? Yeah,
right. Yeah. Like it was really weird. And then I'm like, wait, am I depressed? Like, is this what this is? Like, is this depression? Like, what is this? You know? And that's when I started getting a little more like conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, damn. And then, but the third day we went like horseback riding, which was so freaking funny.
Yeah, we went horseback riding in the mountains. That was really fun because that was like an impromptu. Like, we were not planning to go horseback riding. We were just hanging out on a mountain, like a tiny mountain that Alex took me to. And I was like, afraid to
go hiking.
Yeah. And I was like, no. So we got on like these rocks and stuff like that. But then like, I don't know. It was like just fate. And then like we looked and there was like a horse stable and then they give us lessons.
Like, let's go there.
Yeah. They're like,
you remember they were packed that day. Remember they were like, oh, we don't have any space or whatever. Yeah. And then
all of a sudden
it's like that. They had space.
Yeah. It was like we were made to go on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was to help us like reconnect in a way because we got to laugh.
Oh, we were cracking up. Horses were so funny, dude.
Yeah.
Andrea's horse was so sassy. She was like behind me and her horse kept like poking my horse, like trying to fight my horse. And my horse was suicidal. When I tell you suicidal, my horse kept like, again, we're on a mountain. Okay, guys.
And we're also trail riding. We're supposed to follow a line.
Like all the horses are following each other, like follow the leader. Yeah, no, mine was like, what if I just drop us off the mountain right now? Like, and I swear I'm not exaggerating. Like, he's like, I will kill us both. He kept ramming me into like spiky ass freaking trees. Yeah. He kept going super close to the edge of the mountain. And I was like, Andrea, this is how I die.
The horse was like, I don't like you. So
yeah. Like, I need you to get off. Like your sadness, like get off of me. Like he was so mad at me.
Yeah.
And then Andrea's horse would piss him off and he would get even more mad. Yeah. And then her horse just didn't want to follow the line. She wanted her own line. Yeah. So she would try to cut in front of my horse. And my horse was like, bro, again, I'll throw myself off right now. Like,
yeah. And the people come, they're like, whoa, it's okay. Like,
yeah,
they're
just, like, oh my God,
they're just, me. Yeah, they're just a little like, I don't know.
Trying to dominate each other.
I was like, what? Do you remember your horse's name? I thought.
No, but I remember your horse's name.
Was it Harley Quinn?
It was Harley Quinn, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember mine, though.
Me either.
But sorry. That horse, bruh, I swear to God, it matched my feelings. Like, I was like, It was like, oh, you're sad? I'll throw you off right now. It's fine. We can solve this problem.
We'll die together. It's okay.
I can't be the line leader, so I'm sad too.
Like, this is so sad, but the horse was like, go be with Venom.
Yeah, go be with Venom. Go ahead. It's fine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it was intense. But it was really funny. We kept cracking up, and honestly, it helped us. But that was day three. She left day four. So
I only stayed 4 days.
So literally, like, we were fine and whatever and other stuff. But when Andrea left, honestly, again, it brought, like, I already knew, like, during this time, like, you know, I'm telling you, like, all these feelings and all that stuff. But during that time, I didn't know that that's what was happening. Like, I didn't know that. So when Andrea came and stuff like that, again, it was like that mirror. And when she left, I was like, bro, I have to do something because I'm depressed. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, huh? You know, like we saw the anxiety, but like, you know, like the depression, I'm like, I never do that. Like, I never, no. You know, like, what in the world is that? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of started thinking back, and then we realized that I actually had postpartum depression, but it was mm-hmm. like high functioning. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember very clearly, I don't know if you guys do, if you listen to the podcast from before, he left like 6 months after I had Thiago, or less than that.
Yeah.
My whole life changed. Not only by having a second child, but I literally started going through a whole new life change that I did not want. So yeah. I was literally like fighting with myself, fighting with everything, fighting with, you know, trying to balance myself out. And I'm very like solution mode all the time. So I didn't notice. I had freaking high functioning depression. And of course, like the move and everything just was, it was just really literally the cherry on top.
It was really bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. And then, so she left or whatever. And then that's when I was like, you know what? I have to force myself to do something. I have to force myself. Because I'm used to being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't have that sort of fuel in me right now. Like, it's impossible. Like, I don't. So I was like, I need to get employed. I was like, I need to find something that's going to force me to legitimately, like, have no choice but to go or I get fired.
Right.
So during that time, you know, while I was like looking for something or whatever, Andrea and I actually started working to, we were more conscious, right? So we started like, we were like, okay, this is the reality. This is what we're going through. And then I started again, I started becoming a little more conscious. So I was like, we need to make a schedule. Like, we need to figure it out. We need to figure out what works for you. We need to figure out what works for me. Like, how can we make this work? And we started working little by little, and we started kind of saying like, okay, I get out of work at this time. Like, she gets out of work at this time. And during that time, you know, I go pick up Matthew. This is the perfect time to do this. So we started making like
a schedule.
So we started making a schedule and little adjustments here and there. And we started like watching TV together.
Yeah.
We started playing Dine and Dash. And then it started kind of feeling a little better.
Right.
It started feeling a little better, started feeling a little more normal.
Yeah.
And then that's when I found my job.
Mm-hmm.
But we gotta stop here. We can't tell you everything right now. We're gonna do a part
two. We have to come back for part two. It's like when you're watching a show and we just left it
to be continued.
Yeah. I'm telling you, your voice sounds so good on that mic. Fika talk.
Fika talk.
Will Alex survive her depression?
Will she get that job she applied for? What job did she apply for?
Will they continue to be best friends? Or is it the end of Alex and Andrea?
Is the end near? Find out next week. Well, not next week. In 2 weeks.
Yeah. So in 2 weeks, like Alex said in the beginning, we're going to drop part two of this limited edition of Arizona. And I mean, the limited series. And like, I wish we could like put them for like private listeners, you know, and be like, it's only exclusive. But anyway.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no. Click here for the exclusive opportunity.
Yeah. But that was part one. Oh my gosh, I had some tears going.
No, I literally cried. I cried, y'all.
Ugh. Yeah, it was intense. Oh no. Okay, there we go. We're good.
Yeah, no, that was intense, and it's like it's gonna get more intense. But yes, we survived.
So, yes, and buckle up because there's going to be more in part two.
Yeah.
But I just have to say, we
were so serious.
I know.
I'm being serious. But sometimes, but it's okay. You gotta be like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because people did not like that. Oh, I don't want to say they did not like, but they were just kind of like, hello, what happened?
They're like, yeah, like, what happened? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So we owe it to our listeners to be transparent.
We owe it to you and you and you.
Because we've always said from the beginning we want to be transparent. And if you've listened to our episodes, we're very funny. We're very funny and we're very like happy-go-lucky, but like we also have serious things. Like life is serious and like it's not always peaches and cream, you know?
I don't even like peaches and cream.
I'm sorry.
Like strawberries and cream.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to say, Alex, thank you for voicing your feelings this platform and having a little therapy session with us. It takes a lot.
Thank you for listening to my
feelings.
I'm not, for anyone that knows me, I don't like to sit on sad stuff for more than like a second. Like, like I'll be sad for a second and then it's like, all right, time to move on. We're not going to sit here and drown in our feelings. So speaking about my feelings is actually like, it's really hard.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, so we're going to wrap it up here. And I just wanted to say thank you for the love and support for episode one. Mm-hmm. We really felt it and it really feels really good to come back to these amazing listeners who we abandoned for 2 years, but then they were literally with their arms open, just ready to welcome us back. Like, I don't know. I think that's really awesome. Like, this is why we do it. I mean, we value our friendship. We've been best friends for 15 years. And it's just something that, you know, when we started Fika Talk in the pandemic, like, I did not think it was going to turn into something like this.
Yes.
How far we have come, like, it's just crazy. But
yeah, no, for sure. But I appreciate you guys. Again, thank you for listening to us. And I love you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see you guys soon. We'll see you guys soon. Not so much, more like you guys will hear us soon.
Yes. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at @FikaTalk_ because we have a lot of interactive stories that we like to do and we always like to communicate with our listeners and things like that. Yes, Alex?
Sorry, I'm literally raised my finger, but I actually, before I forget, we are now on iHeartRadio.
We are iHeartRadio.
Like, we literally got approved. So, I don't know. Fun fact. There you go. That's our fun fact. Because Philip has the day off today. Yeah. So, that's
the fun fact. Yeah, guys. Well, we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
On the flippity flop. Yep. Over and out.
Bye.